You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
How's everybody? Good to see you. Okay. All right then. Well, I'm glad you're here. And it's springtime, kind of. It doesn't feel like it is as much today. But we are in the midst of this teaching series, Elisha and the Power of God. Let's read it together today. We're going to pick up in 2 Kings. Last week we read 1 Kings chapter 19. This week we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's read it together this morning as we pick up the story of Elisha. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Well, we talked last week about God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, with anyone, in any way that he wants. You believe this? Okay, we're getting there. Absolutely, absolutely, because this is the God who turns some guy from the creek who's completely obscure, a plowman who follows behind a group of oxen every day, into a prophet. He's the God who turns plowmen into prophets. And what we learned in the first week was the first thing that's got to go in our way of having more of God's power in our life is we have to sacrifice our oxen. Some of you are saying, "Whoa, I wasn't here for that. What's that all about?" Well, here's what I'm talking about. More often than not, there's something getting in the way of more of God's power and presence in your life. And that's the first thing that's got to go. So sacrifice the oxen for Elisha. He had spent his entire life plowing behind this team of oxen. He knew the same routine day after day after day after day. And the thing that had to go first was recognizing that God had called him forth into something new. And so the oxen were symbolic of everything that he had done, and God had a different future in store for him. And so that's exactly what he did. He sacrificed the oxen, he left the family business, and he began to follow God's call on his life. He was faithful. And really, that's key for all of us, is faithfulness. We talked a bit about this last week, recognizing that there are these moments in Scripture where people who have been faithful all of a sudden experience great transformation. We have this wonderful line in the book of Exodus. When Moses grew up, he was faithful in the beginning of his life, and at a certain moment, he recognized, man, my divine moment has come. I see a Hebrew slave being beaten, and I can't deal with that anymore. And everything from that day on in his life changed. Or we think about David, the shepherd boy who lived out in the fields. And at some moment, after he was delivering grilled cheese sandwiches to his brothers on the front of the battle line, he heard about this great champion from Gath named Goliath. And he said, who is this that defies the armies of the living God? God has delivered me from lions and bears, and he'll deliver me from this Philistine. Jesus spent 30 years preparing for 3 years of ministry. The disciples spent 3 years following Jesus to prepare and lead the Great Commission. And so faithfulness, the season of faithfulness, is often met with a season of breakthrough. And so that's what happened for Elisha. He faithfully plowed, and that's when the internship started. Elisha left and became Elijah's intern. That's essentially who he is. And internships are a good thing. It's funny, in our universities today, we talk about how we're going to develop future leaders. And I don't doubt that. But how many people in this sanctuary know this morning that until you go through the school of hard knocks, you just got a piece of paper hanging on the wall? Internships are critical. They allow people to make mistakes in a safe and controlled environment, or at least sometimes that's the case. By the time it's over, mentors' pigment of their hair usually changes a bit more towards gray, or at least my mentors did. Yeah, internships are a great thing, and the reason is this. In internships, you have position, but you lack power. And so you begin to learn. And that's the key to an internship. You have to first be a learner before you can be a leader. I know I've had some amazing mentors in my life and in my ministry. Some of them are in this room, who I'm very grateful for the way that they've put up with me and taught me and helped me and asked great questions. Hey, what do you think about, or is that really a good idea? You've got to become a learner before you can be a leader. And then the change comes. In fact, look at the scriptures with me today. In 2 Kings chapter 2 at verse 1, we read that there's this time when Elisha, his internship is getting near its end. The Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven. And then we read a few times this whole, do you know that the Lord's going to take your master away? And Elisha says, well, of course I know, dude, but keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. We're left with a few questions, though. Who are these sons of the prophets that are being talked about in the scripture? And to define that, it's really important to know that there's a battle going on. In fact, the same battle's happening in the world today between the forces of evil and the forces of God. And so just as Elijah, his mentor, has battled with these false prophets all throughout his ministry, so Elisha is going to gain an army of people who he's going to lead, known as the sons of the prophets, to help bring the people of God back to God. The time is coming. Elijah's going on. Elisha's training is done. He's ready, and he's going to begin to seize the divine moment. And that's the difference about leadership in the kingdom. See, leadership in this world more often is about gaining power. In the kingdom, leadership is more about understanding purpose. There's a purpose to what you do. There's a purpose for which you were created. There's a purpose for which you lead people. And some of you are saying this morning, I don't lead anybody anymore, and that's not true. Some of you are saying, I'm retired. I don't do leadership. I did that for a while. That's not true. Everybody has the opportunity to lead somebody. Your influence, your position, your wisdom, the respect that you command. The experience that you have, you can lead people every day of your life. You can lead them to be closer with God or further from God. You can lead them closer into their own purpose for living. You can lead them in a lot of different ways. You can mentor people. See, leadership isn't just an academic or spiritual, or excuse me, academic or experiential pursuit. It's a spiritual purpose. If you're leading people, you're living into your purpose. And Elisha's purpose is very simple, to lead people away from the false gods and lead people to the one true God. That's why he's there. Now, to make sure that he didn't forget his purpose of leading people to be closer to God, Elijah's going to take him on a road trip to remember. In fact, the beginning of this passage sounds a little repetitive, doesn't it? I mean, first we go to Gilgal, then we go to Bethel, then we go to Jericho. We repeat the same things a few times, and many of you are saying, why are we reading this? Can we just not have the cliff notes? Well, the reason is it's a road trip to remember. And the places that Elijah and Elisha goes before the end of his internship is the way that God is saying, don't forget your purpose. This is why you're here, to lead people back to me. And all of these different spots, whether it's Gilgal or Bethel or Jericho, these are places that God has led the people of Israel in claiming their purpose of being a kingdom of priests and holy nation. At Gilgal, that was their first place they camped. At Bethel, they spied out the land. At Jericho, you remember the story, right? They marched around the city 7 times and the walls came tumbling down. And so what God is doing is the spiritual road trip to remember. He's saying, Elisha, here's the deal, man. Your purpose. Don't forget it. Don't forget what I've done in the life of my people. Your purpose is to lead those people back to me. They're lost. Isn't that part of your purpose? To lead lost children back to the Father? Absolutely. And you all thought some of you were retired. Everybody has a purpose. God created you for a purpose. And Elisha thought his purpose was to walk behind a plow, and an internship taught him this. God has in mind for you to be a prophet. It's up to you. But Elisha's internship isn't over. And that's why he stays with his mentor all throughout the way. See, he learned the great leadership lesson of the spiritual guru Maverick, that you never leave your wingman. So Elisha follows Elijah, and he takes the spiritual journey, and he recognizes his purpose is to draw people back to God. And what he comes to realize in the process is he learns that the power of God, it's not taken, it's given. It's a very different kind of power than the power of this world. The power of this world, we try to get it, we try to gain it, we try to manipulate it, but the power of God is given, just as the purposes of God are given. Elisha's purpose is to lead people back to God, and God will supply abundantly the power needed to fulfill his purpose. You see the connection there? I mean, if God calls you to do it, he's going to equip you to do it. Do you believe this? Absolutely. And so from plowman to prophet to intern to wingman, he's getting ready. And that's when the divine moment comes. Take a look at the passage. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, please let there be, say it with me, a double portion of your spirit on me. Now that's a bold prayer, isn't it? That's a bold prayer. He doesn't say, well, you know, how about 10%? He doesn't say, well, I'll take half. He says, let there be a double portion of your spirit. I want 2 times what you've got. I mean, it almost just sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? Like, hey, I thought the intern should have learned a little better than that. But it's not. It's not arrogance. It's humility. What if we prayed like that? Because I don't know about you, but I think this is the way we tend to pray. We go, okay. It's always a little stretch. God, thank you for the day. And God, I'm going through some things right now. So if it's not too much trouble, and you're not too busy, and you don't have bigger and better things to do, and if you're not like helping starving children, and if you could like maybe help a little bit if it's in your will and not too much trouble and you've got the time, that'd be great. Amen. It's almost like we pray like Southerners, don't we? And then we put bless your heart on the end of it a little bit. Right? You're like, well, you know, you're being humble. And I get that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't approach God with humility, because we should. You know, he's God and we're not. That's a pretty big distinction. But what if we prayed with real boldness? Like, hey, God, your purpose, I believe, for my life is this. I need 10 times what I could ever possibly imagine to fulfill that purpose. And so I'm trusting you with holy fear and boldness that you, the God who provides, will do so. What if we prayed like that? I mean, what would the church look like? How might the world change? What would your life look like? How about your family? If we prayed with that kind of boldness, God, I got nothing, but I know that you are Lord over all, that all of the resources of the universe are at your disposal. And so, God, I pray abundantly, move. I mean, this is the kind of stuff Moses did. He didn't go up to Pharaoh and go, hey, you know, you've been kind of hard on the kids. They're tired. If it's not too much trouble, if it fits in your schedule, if your building project is done, do you think you could let us go, maybe, kind of? Or David didn't walk up to Goliath and go, hey, brother, let's sit down and talk about how we can have a win-win here. What? He said, who are you that you would defy the armies of the living God? Or one of my favorite prayers is Mary. Picture this now. Teenage girl, middle of nowhere. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I was still learning how to tie my shoes. Okay? And you know, the angel Gabriel comes and says, hey, here's the deal. You're going to have a child, and what's conceived in you is from the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be great, and the Son of the Most High. And I mean, it goes under this whole spiritual resume, and you're like, whoa. And Mary boldly prays this, may it be to me as you have said. Oh. Wow. Or when Jesus said to Peter, get out of the boat, he's like, he got out of the boat. All the disciples are going, dude, we always knew you were the kid who ate the paste. Are you serious right now? He got out of the boat. See, the spiritual secret of the giants of faith is this, that the power of God does not come to those with the right resume, but those who boldly run after God with the right kind of heart and all of it. And there's a moment that comes for all of these spiritual giants that they've got to cross over. Say it with me, cross over. There we go. They cross over from what was to what will be. From old to new, from the past to the future, from living into my own lies or whatever to living into God's preferred future for my life. Who's ready to cross over today? Let's take a look at the passage. Notice what happens. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them, say it with me, could go over. There was a crossover on dry ground. And then the passage continues. When they had crossed, meaning cross over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken. And Elisha boldly said, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. I want you to think about what's happening here. When do the seas part? When God's getting ready to do something big. And what do the people do when the seas part? They cross over. They cross over at the Red Sea. And there was a change in identity. They were slaves in Egypt, but they became the sons and daughters of God, known as Israel. The same thing happened in the Jordan River. Have you all read, you know, some of Exodus and Numbers and all that stuff? It is, oh my gosh, you just have to, it should be called the Kingdom of Knuckleheads, because they're going around in circles all of these years, but something beautiful happens at the Jordan River because it parts and then they cross over, and instead of bumbling around, they become the bold children of God and live into the purposes of God. So there's something about this idea of crossing over, of leaving what was for what will be, of leaving the past for the future, of stopping the excuses and living into God's power and His purpose. Remember, if He's called you to it, if He's given you the purpose, He's going to provide you with the power. And that's when the moment came in Elisha's life. It says this, he says he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. He doesn't need that anymore. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Israel?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha did what? He went over. He left the old for the new. He left what was for what will be. Let me give you the secret, I think, in my opinion, to God being at work in your life more. Most of the people in this world want the power of God to be operating in their life, but they want to do everything in the same way. We're going to do what we know. We're going to do what's comfortable. We're going to do what's predictable. We're going to do what's repetitive. We're going to do the same thing the same way every time and expect different results. And what God is looking for is very, very simple. If you want more of the power and presence of God in your life, you got to cross over. God wants to do a new thing. He already did that thing, and it was great. But God wants to do a new thing. What new thing does God want to do in your life? What's God's purpose for your life? Are you ready for more of God's power in your life? Because all throughout the Bible, God does this. And there's something about water at the Red Sea, and the Jordan again when Jesus is baptized and then starts his ministry. And there's something about the waters of our baptism as we're washed and made new creations in Christ. There's got to be an end to the old life for a new life to begin. Do you believe that God can do anything, anytime, anywhere with anyone in any way that he wants? Because if you do, it's time for you to cross over into whatever God has in store for you next. So if you're ready today to cross over, here's what I want to invite you to do. Come and remember your baptism. Come and remember the power of God that's brought you to this season in your life. And here's what I want you to cling to. He still has more purpose. He still has fresh power for each one of you. Touch those waters. Touch them to your forehead. And then pray boldly. Not, hey, you know. But boldly. God, be at work. Because you can do anything, anywhere, anytime, with anyone. I'm here. Let's pray this prayer again together today. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit, I long for more of your power and presence. Today I lay down and let's lift those things up. Let's keep praying. I pray today that you would start a new work. I pray that you would have your way in me, in our church, in your world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to invite Cheryl to come and bless us. And you touch those waters of baptism and you come boldly to God and pray and lay it all before Him.